All right, Shabbat Shalom and welcome to United Israel World Union. This is our Sabbath morning service coming to you live from St. Francisville, Louisiana. It's good to be here with you today. Thanks for joining us. We are presently in our study of the 10 words, commonly called, but not with validation from the Hebrew text, but commonly referred to as the 10 commandments. But we know now from our study that we're dealing with the Aseret HaDevarim, the 10 words. That is where we are. We're talking about those 10 words that were spoken from the midst of the fire on the day of assembly, later inscribed with the finger of God on two tablets of stone, those 10 words. Today's teaching is our ninth class in the series, ninth class, and we are in word number three, ninth class, word number three. So we had quite a bit of buildup. We had quite a bit of groundwork to lay in the beginning stages. And then for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the words within the words themselves. And you'll notice that I said we are in word number three. We're going to be talking today about Shabbat. And most of you good Bible students would say, but wait a minute, that's number four. But what we're doing is we're going by the numbers are based upon the white spaces found within the Hebrew text, not according to any Roman numerals in a photograph or a painting that you've seen. There are no Roman numerals. There is no way to number the 10 words in the 10 words in the text themselves. People have debated this over and over throughout the centuries. You have the even within Judaism, a lot of people think that Judaism has a single way to count the 10. But there are arguments within Jewish literature about whether or not that opening statement, I am Jehovah, or I am Adonai, I am Hashem, your Elohim, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, from the house of servants. Some consider that to be the first, whereas it is a declarative statement. Is it the first? Is it part of the first? The Catholics, the various groups within Christianity, there are all these different debates as to how to number the 10. What I'm doing in this study, as you know from a previous study, is going based upon the white spaces, the open and closed breaks within the Hebrew text. Now, you are going to need this document that I published on the web to work through today's class. We're going to really be looking at this closely a couple of times during the teaching today. So I want you to have this. If you're listening by podcast, Apple, whatever way that you listen to the audio, you're going to need to print this out at your earliest convenience or download it on your mobile device so that it makes sense what I'm talking about. Now, I just uploaded a revision, so I'm going to get very good and multitasking here. I'm going to post the link to the revision. You'll see me there under United Israel World Union. That is the link to the revised edition of my comparison of the 10 words in English between Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. This is a work in progress. I want to make sure that by the time we finish this, that this is the most accurate that I can get it so that you can study it, memorize it, teach it to your children, inscribe these words upon their hearts and so forth and so on. So, but this is going to be very beneficial. A couple of things to remember. The translation is my translation, so it's very literal. The reason that is, you can look at any translation you choose, whatever your favorite translation is, but for instruction, I want to be as close to the Hebrew as I can. My teacher, many of you know James Tabor, his work in things such as the transparent English version, what the goal is that you look at the English and as best we can, you're bringing into English what the Hebrew says beneath it. Does that make sense? So it's like you're looking into the English and you're peering through and you're picking up the nuances and the flavor, the pace and so forth of the Hebrew. So it's literal. And by that, I mean, I don't say things like thou shalt have no idols. I say, no, it will be to you, and so forth and so on. Very choppy almost. But the rhythm is there. So if you can put up with that, you're getting a very close rendition of what these words actually say. Now, I'll also produce a smoother translation that involves making it more, I guess, receptive to the English mind when I finish with this. But this is really to work through these texts. So it includes, by the way, not only is the translation a literal translation, you'll notice red. Red on this page indicates variations between the words as they're recorded in Exodus and as they're recorded in Deuteronomy. So both of these accounts, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, claim to be the words as spoken from the mountain on the day of assembly, from the midst of the fire, and yet there are differences. We're talking about those. We're actually not afraid to do that. We're jumping in and we're looking at it. But the red indicates variation. And then you'll notice also within brackets some Hebrew letters. I know some of you have heard this before, but some of you may be tuning in for the first time. Within the brackets, you'll notice the Hebrew characters. There are two Hebrew characters that I've indicated in this translation, a samek and a pei. Samek is for setuma, and a pei is for petucha. A setuma is a closed break. It's sort of a break in the text, but it doesn't, it's not like our paragraph. It's a minor break, you might say. It's a space between the letters that indicates a break, but the pei is a major break. It's like a paragraph. It starts over a fresh line. All right, you know all this. I know you know all this. But I did want to bring those things to your attention as we get started in today's class. Now, remember, between these two accounts, Exodus in Hebrew, Exodus 20, that portion of Exodus 20, which deals specifically with the 10 words that are communicated by God on Mount Sinai, it's 172 Hebrew words. Now, if you look at the version in Deuteronomy 5, it's 189 words. So we got some differences here. Now, what does that mean? Well, part of the difference is in today's class. We're going to highlight some of that. If you just look at the English in my comparison chart, look at about the bottom of page 1, you'll see those blocks that begin under Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to separate it, and look over at Deuteronomy, guard the Sabbath day to separate it. So you'll notice automatically and immediately a difference, but we'll talk about that. But notice how much red exists in the word dealing with Shabbat. In other words, these are distinct differences between Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 as it relates to the 10 words, first of all, and specifically to the one dealing with Shabbat. Now, I want to say up front at the beginning of this class that this particular subject, I believe, is very, very important. And it's important. Anytime I'm talking about the Bible, it's important, so underscore that. But when I'm talking about Shabbat, it's especially important for me and perhaps everyone who's listening to this teaching today. And why is that? Because for many, Shabbat is the key that opened the door to Torah orientation, to bringing people from all faiths into Torah faith. I'm talking about Christians, Messianic, Hebrew roots, however you want to define these different groups, people who have a love for God, a desire to find truth, and who search for God with all their heart and all their soul, one of the things that wakes them up is Shabbat. I know it was for me. I pulled out my files this week. You know, I'm going through and I'm organizing and cleaning and straightening and I'm pulling out files from 30 years ago. I was in my 20s going to church. And you know, it's like when you read the first time a passage, let's say, that says this is an eternal covenant, you think, how long is eternal? Or Christians who are reading in the Gospels and or reading in the Acts. And for instance, I remember looking through my old files, one of the awakening moments for me was James, the brother of Jesus, in Acts chapter 15, saying that Moses of old is preached every Sabbath in the synagogue. And I'm thinking, wow, on the Sabbath, in the synagogue, preaching Moses. Some of you have been with me a while. Remember that old slogan I used to talk about, preaching Moses every Sabbath. Well, here I am, 30-odd years into this, and I think I still like to say that I preach Moses every Sabbath. So we're gonna talk about this. But remember, as you look out upon your brothers and sisters who are becoming oriented towards Torah faith, look, you can be critical, you can be argumentative, but you can't be critical and argumentative of their walk and be in concert with God, because God is waking these people up. And He's using Shabbat, among other things, to bring people to the light of Torah. So, Torah observance and Shabbat go hand in hand, especially among this wakening crowd. I believe that the Shabbat is somewhat of a test commandment for these people. It was for me, and it was for you and you and you. Everyone who's listening to me now, you had to overcome that. What day is the holy day? Right? I mean, you had to come to grips with that. I remember when I started this, I said, well, every day is holy. You know, every day is holy. I can worship on any day. And then I realized that Shabbat was the Shabbat. And I said, well, I recognize that, but I can still do this and so forth. But there was a lot of working inside of me, and I think that that's going on globally. So please don't forget that when we see people, they're going through this, think about the Shabbat as the key to unlocking Torah faith. And just remember, it's a test. It's a test commandment to see whether a person will walk in Torah faith or not. Not only is it a test today, it's always been the test to see if people would adhere to God's covenant or not. And it was designed that way. This is what I'm going to talk about today. This is what I want to share with you today. Before the covenant at Horeb or Sinai, before these 10 words were spoken, before they were written on tablets of stone, God put this test into force. And I'm going to show it to you. Now, I will say that critical scholarship looks at this and they say, this is proof. The Bible's all jumbled up and it's not chronological. I don't think that's the case here. I believe that in what I'm about to share with you, that God actually put this test commandment before the children of Israel, before Sinai. So we're dealing with the 10 words and what is given at Sinai today. But I wanted to take just a couple of minutes and read to you, if you'll go with me, to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. And I just want to read to you from verses 4 and 5. Exodus 16. Then Jehovah, Exodus 16, 4, said to Moses, behold, I'll rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether or not they will walk in my instruction or not, my Torah in Hebrew. And it will come to pass on the sixth day that they'll prepare and bring in twice as much as they do daily. So what I'd said was that this was already instituted as the sixth day is a day of preparation, that you bring forward enough food, you make preparations on the sixth day because on the seventh day, it won't be there. There will not be any bread supplied on that day. So go down to verse 16:22. And it came to pass on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said, this is that which Jehovah has spoken. Today, tomorrow is a solemn rest, a holy Sabbath unto Jehovah. Bake that which ye shall bake, boil that which ye shall boil, and all that remains over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Notice it says that it's a day of solemn rest, a Shabbat. And this is before the 10 words. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Shabbat unto Jehovah. This is on the next day, verse 25. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh is a Sabbath. In it there shall be none. And it came to pass on the seventh day that there went out some of the people to gather, and they found none. And Jehovah said unto Moses, how long refuse you, plural, to keep my commandments and my laws? So this idea, notice this, the way that this ends. After this test has been put forward, and the people go out on the seventh day, they've already been told there's not going to be any manna, right? They go out anyway, and Jehovah tells Moses, how long will ye refuse to guard my commandments and my instructions? Now, the word for commandment there is the root word mitzvah, what is commanded, and the word for Torah, obviously, or my instructions, is Torah. So God is saying there are some who failed the test already, because they went out looking for food on what was called the Shabbat. So what we get is that this is the first revelation of Shabbat to the nation of Israel, to the people that God has selected as his segula, his special treasure, to teach the world about his way, and they're already failing in this regard on Shabbat. This is before Sinai and Horeb. Go back to verse 1 of Exodus 16, just to give you the context. Exodus 16, 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Remember, they depart Egypt on the 15th of the first month. This is the 15th of the second month after they've departed from the land of Egypt. So what we get is that Exodus 16 provides us with basically the idea that the seventh day is to be set apart. The seventh day is to be set apart, that one has to prepare for it. Now we're going to go through the word which deals with Shabbat. And the way I'm going to do this, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Then we're going to read Deuteronomy 5. Now, I hope that you're looking closely at this chart, because we're going to highlight the differences, and then we're going to explain them. We're going to talk about them. So, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, on the sheet. Remember the Sabbath day to separate it. 6 days you shall serve, and you shall do all your work. And the seventh day is for Jehovah, your Elohim. You shall not do any work, you or your son and your daughter and your servant and your maidservant or your handmaid and your beast and your stranger who is in your gates. Because 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and separated it. Now look at Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12. And you'll remember everywhere we're reading, wherever red is in the text, those are distinct differences between the two. Guard the Sabbath day to separate it, as which Jehovah your Elohim commanded you. 6 days you shall serve, you shall do all your work, and the seventh day is for Jehovah your Elohim. You shall not do any work, you and your son and your daughter and your servant and your handmaid and your ox and your donkey and all of your beast and your stranger who is in your gates, in order that your servant and your handmaid may rest as you. You shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and Jehovah your Elohim brought you out from there with a strong hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore, Jehovah your Elohim commanded you to do the Sabbath day. The word dealing with Shabbat, my word number three based upon the white spaces, is one of two commandments in the positive. Now, what do I mean by that? Remember, if you look above, no, there will be to you Elohim in addition to my face or above my face. No, you shall make idols. No, you. It's a lot of thou shalt nots, right? But this commandment is different. This and the one which follows, dealing with giving weight or honoring one's parents, these are the only two positive. The others are negative. Again, by negative, I mean thou shalt not. It's what you shouldn't do. The things that you should do can be implied by taking the opposite of the negative. But very clearly, without any ambiguity, the word dealing with Shabbat and the honoring or giving weight to parents are the two positive. Now, I want to look for a moment. I want you to look with me at the black text, meaning this is what's consistent between Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, okay? Look at this. So I'm going to just read it. The Sabbath day to separate it. 6 days you shall serve, you shall do all your work. And the seventh is for Jehovah your Elohim. You shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, and your servant, and your handmaid, and your beast, and your stranger who is in your gates. Therefore, Jehovah, the Sabbath day. Now, that's what's consistent between the two. Each one, each account, each version gives us different reasons, and we have to look at that. And remember, both of these are presented in the text as being the record of what was spoken from Sinai. So what can we learn from this? This is where we really have to dig in. What is common between the two accounts is that Shabbat is to be separate. All right, now we're going to talk about what that means. There is to be work 6 days. Look, a lot of people talk about the Sabbath and they talk about, you know, how it's a day of rest and I don't work and I'm doing this and that on Sabbath. What the other part of this command deals with working 6 days. I mean, really, it says you shall do all your work 6 days. And then you have the Sabbath off. So a lot of people who fight tooth and nail to take the Sabbath off don't fight nearly as hard to work 6 days. But I just wanted to bring that up, right? And notice that the seventh day in both accounts, based on what we have in the black, is to or for Jehovah. So the Sabbath is for Jehovah, right? And then work is forbidden. So when we talk about separating the day, I want to touch on that just a little bit. Most of you know this. But just to make the point, in Hebrew, the root word is kof dalet shin. Most people know kadosh means holy in English, in parochial language. When we see these three Hebrew root letters, translators go all over the place. It really means to be set apart, to be separate, whatever that means. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But it's translated various as sanctify, make holy, sometimes the word sacred, hallow, consecrate, you know, all these parochial words. All of these words in that context are based on this three-letter root, kof, dalet, shin. But again, it means to set it apart, to separate it. So you can separate something. It doesn't have to mean in Hebrew for some parochial purpose. Some things can be like, I can set this pen apart, you know. The idea is to put it separate, okay? Exodus says that that one is to remember the Sabbath day, and Deuteronomy says that you are to guard the seventh day. Sometimes it's translated observe, but the root word there is shamar. So your Exodus says to remember it. Deuteronomy says to guard it. Both in their respective ways, this is what you must do to make it holy, to set it apart. You're to remember it and guard it. What does that mean? I mean, you keep peeling away. All right, so Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Let's read that. Exodus 20, verse 11. We're going to talk about the reason. Because 6 days, Jehovah made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and separated it. Interestingly enough, you're to remember the Sabbath day and separate it, according to Exodus. Why? Because Jehovah made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and he himself rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Jehovah blessed it and separated it. Now, you get that in my translation, separated it, sanctified it, made it holy. You can use those parochial terms. I don't think we should totally strip away. That's not my intent here. My intent for instruction is to get at what it really means. It should be different, set apart. Now, let's look at that creation story, if you will. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Genesis 2, verse 1. And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because that in it he rested from all his work which Elohim, or which God, had created and made. Now that particular portion of text, Genesis 2, 1 through 2, 3, is between white spaces. So it's got these natural breaks in the Hebrew text. Then if you look at Genesis 2, 4, it begins a whole new thought. It's like it's perfect break. The break begins at 2, 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth. So this is very important for people to follow the white spaces when you're trying to understand context. I hear all the time people go, well, you have to read the whole chapter. Maybe, maybe not. Right? Maybe, maybe not. Because sometimes the chapters don't follow these Hebrew breaks. That's why it's important to study Hebrew and learn biblical Hebrew, at least enough to work in it, or get a translation that contains the white spaces like I have here. So the point is that in this section of text, Genesis 2, 1 through 3, it says basically that the creation story presents that Elohim made all that he made, which is described as his malaka, his work, which, by the way, is a noun. All right. So it's describing his work of creation, not his physical work here. That's another word that's used for that. But everything that he made, He did that in 6 days. From all his work, he rested that he did make. So he's complete, it's finished, and then he rests. Now it says that Elohim blessed the seventh day and separated it. So this day is blessed and separated it, and on it he ceased. In Hebrew, it's Shabbat. Shabbat means to stop, just to cease. A lot of people think Shabbat means to rest. Shabbat is associated with rest. It says that God rested because it says that on it he ceased Shabbat from his work. Shin Beit Tav, Shabbat. He stopped, he ceased. The 10-word Exodus account says that Jehovah rested rather than ceased, okay? So again, I know this is, you just need to take notes and listen closely. In Genesis 2, 1 through 3, it says that God used the word Shabbat. He ceased from his work, whereas Exodus chapter 20 says that he rested. Now in Hebrew, the root word is nun chet. He rested from his work. So there is an association with rest, but he uses that word here. But the point of associating Shabbat with creation in Exodus, as we just read, is to say that one is to do likewise, right? So what this means is that you are to, and I, we are to imitate God in this respect. Whereas God did all his work on the 6 days and stopped on the seventh, and rested, so are you to do likewise. And what does that do? You imitating God in this sense are able to partake in the divine. This is the idea that's being conveyed. You're entering into to partake in the divine realm, if you will. The seventh day, by the way, is the first thing which is called holy. The seventh day, the Shabbat, is the first thing that's called Kadosh. Now, one of the things that I think interesting that I brought up in my introductory comments is that people are waking up in their sincere search to Torah faith almost without exception. I mean, there are other exceptions, but for the most part, people are drawn in through Shabbat. It's almost as if it's an invitation to partake of holiness. People have lived a corrupt life. They've lived a lawless life. They've lived without Torah. And the way they're drawn back in is through the holiest of the holies. It's as if the first thing we learn is from wherever we are. I don't know what else is right, but I know Shabbat is holy. And that draws us. So it's interesting that Shabbat is the first thing that's called holy. It's as if, now think about this. The older I get, the more I appreciate time. Time is sacred to me. And I think that all of us should recognize that time can be holy. And a portion of our time is required to be holy. Now, many of us want more time than just the 14-some-odd% or whatever it is, do the math, to take one of seven. But there's a 24-hour period that is totally set apart. In Exodus, we're to remember to set it apart. In Deuteronomy, we're to guard it to set it apart. Remember and guard. Both are important. By the way, those two words are used together in a lot of places. I remember, look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, to show the connectedness. Is that a word? Psalm 103:17. Between these two words. But the loving kindness of Jehovah, you know what that word is, right? In Hebrew, the chesed. The Chesed Yehovah Me'olam Va'ad Olam. The loving kindness or the steadfast love of Jehovah is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his precepts to do them. You hear keep and remember? In Hebrew, it's very clear, to the ones who guard his covenant, shin, mem, resh, shamar, to those that guard his covenant, and for those who remember, ul zochre, you hear the zayin kof resh, zakar means to remember, to memorialize. So what this is talking about is God's loving kindness is eternal in his righteousness to such that guard the covenant and remember his precepts. So the idea to guard and remember go hand in hand. There are a lot of other texts. We're not going to go into those. But you can do a study of those two words. You ought to know, almost not by heart, but you ought to be very familiar with all the texts that use both of those, particularly both of those together, Zachar and Shamar, to remember and to guard. Whenever we talk about to remember in this context, it doesn't necessarily mean like you forgot and you remember, like you remember where you put your keys, meaning you forgot. It means to call to mind, though. So you can bring to the forefront of your mind not even something that you forget. It doesn't mean necessarily you forgot and you remember. You get the point? It's to call to mind. It's really what it means. So you should call to mind the Shabbat to separate it. Right? And then to guard means just that, to watch over, to keep, to post a sentry almost. That's the idea. Now, whenever I use the word guard, though, look with me at Genesis 37. Genesis 37. I want to go to verse 11. This is from the Joseph saga, as you'll notice. Sometimes guard, my point in this verse is sometimes guard can mean you guard something in your mind. So in other words, my point being that Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 aren't necessarily that far apart. You're to call it to mind and you're to guard it in your mind. Put it aside in your mind. Watch this. 37:11 of Genesis. And his brethren envied him, but his father kept the saying in mind. In Hebrew, it's shamar. Shamar et hadavar. He guarded the word. So remember, the story is Joseph tells the dream, hey, buddies, guess what? I had this dream, and you and mom and dad were all bowing down to me. Remember how well that was received? You know how little brothers are. And what happens is that the brothers are driven to great jealousy and more hatred. But the father, he takes this word that he just heard and he guards it. He puts it away in his mind. So according to the Exodus account, we're to remember the Shabbat day, the Sabbath day, to separate it. According to Deuteronomy, we're to guard the Sabbath day to separate it, and that meaning is not so far apart. It's not so different. In fact, it's two ways of thinking the same thing in a way. And now we'll talk about why. Why separate the day? Now, I mentioned earlier, if you look at the creation account in Exodus, the reason is because Jehovah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And therefore, he blessed it and separated it. And because he did that, you are to imitate his action and work and do all that you're creating for 6 days and then stop. So it's to imitate God. Deuteronomy's account gives another version, another reason to separate the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy doesn't tell us that it's because God created and just because he created in 6 days and rested on the seventh, you should do all your work in 6 days and rest on the seventh day. Deuteronomy doesn't even talk about that. Doesn't mention it. What does Deuteronomy say? In order that your servant and your handmaid may rest as you. The reason, according to Deuteronomy, that you are to guard the Sabbath day to separate it, and no one is to work. You know, it gives the list on and on and on and on and on. Why? In order that your servant and your handmaid may rest as you. Now, before I get into this too deeply, go with me to Exodus 23. Exodus 23 and verse 12. Exodus 23, 12. 6 days thou shalt do your work. Exodus 23, 12. And on the seventh day you shall rest so that your ox, your ass may have rest, and the son of thy neighbor and the sojourner may be refreshed. So while Exodus chapter 20 in the 10 words doesn't associate the reason for Shabbat with rest being allowed for others, here it does. Exodus 23, 12. Very important passage, Exodus 23, 12. So what Deuteronomy wants us to see in the 10 words is the benefit of Shabbat. The benefit, not just for you, but for others. Here's something that I want to stress as I get into what Deuteronomy's trying to teach us. A lot of people say, man, I can't wait for Shabbat. Why is that? Because I get to be refreshed. Deuteronomy does say that, so that you might be refreshed. But even more importantly, I think, even more importantly than you and me, it's that those that work for us, maybe, those that we depend on, they don't have to work. We don't make them work. You see, it's about giving and allowing respite to others. It's allowing people to breathe, and it's allowing people to get refreshed. See, if we never let our servants off, if we never let our servants have a break, that's not good. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't look forward to Shabbat. You should, and you should look forward to it because on that day you get to be refreshed and you get to rest. But also think about others. Jehovah certainly did. In Exodus 20, it says that Jehovah rested on the seventh day. In Deuteronomy 5, it says that the reason for Shabbat is so that the rest occurs on earth as in heaven. You get that? Just as rest occurred in the heavens, rest can occur on earth because of Shabbat, and only because of Shabbat. Everyone is to benefit from Shabbat. Everyone. You, look at the people that are listed. You, your son, your daughter, your servant, your handmaid. Exodus says your beast, right? But Deuteronomy says, instead of where Exodus says your beast, Deuteronomy inserts ox, your donkey, and all of your beast, right? It adds to it. It wants to be very, very complete. Whole. Deuteronomy has a tendency to do this. And then Deuteronomy, they both then agree, and your stranger who is in your gates. It's for everyone. I love the fact that it includes everyone in this rest. Humans, animals of every place and walk in life, from the king to the lowest servant. You see, to the animals, rest. Now, whereas Exodus says to remember the Sabbath day to separate it, Deuteronomy uses remember, but in a different place where Exodus doesn't use it. So you have to follow the chart. Remember, Exodus says to remember the Sabbath day to separate. Deuteronomy says guard the Sabbath day to separate it. But Deuteronomy now uses remember, but in a different place. All right? Deuteronomy wants to stress that something else should be brought to mind as one separates the seventh day. You know what that is? Look at chapter 5, verse 15 on your sheet. And you should remember. Remember now, I want you to remember that Deuteronomy has this, Exodus doesn't. And you shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and Jehovah your Elohim brought you out from there with a strong hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore, Jehovah your Elohim commanded you to do the Sabbath day. Remember that you were a servant. In order to separate the Sabbath day, what God is telling us is this. Remember where you came from. You know why I stress so much to not debate and fight those people who are learning and coming into the faith? You know why I do that? Because it's a commandment. Because we're not the boss of these people. You ever hear that? You're not my boss. We're fellow servants on a path seeking truth. Let God lead them to the place of Torah observance. And He's going to use Shabbat, most likely. So while you're thinking about Shabbat, you know what you need to remember? Hey, remember you were there. Remember, you were a servant. You were a slave. So you know what? The Torah, more than 36 times, if I remember correctly, talks about treating strangers with goodness and kindness. You know why? You ought to know how it feels. As a father of six and grandfather to eight, I always tell the older one, don't pick on that. You remember how it was when so-and-so picked on you? You use these lessons. It makes sense. You should. I'm not saying they stop, but I'm also not saying people follow this very well either. So remember that. You were a servant. You also know how it feels to not have rest, but you also know the benefit of rest. So rest and redemption, then, because of what we're learning here, take on universal status, if you will. Deuteronomy stresses this point about you ought to know. Look at Deuteronomy 15, 15. Deuteronomy 15, 15. And you shall remember that you were a bondman in the land of Egypt, and Jehovah your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing this day. Look down at chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16, verse 12, 16, 12. And you shall remember that you were a servant in Egypt, a bondman, and you shall observe and do these statutes. You shall observe and do these statutes, guard and do them. Why is that? You shall remember that you were a servant. Look at chapter 24, Deuteronomy 24. And verse 18, you shall remember that you were a bondman in Egypt, and Jehovah your God redeemed you thence. Therefore, I command you to do these things. A lot of the commandments, look down at verse 22, one more verse. And you shall remember that you were a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. Over and over and over, God looks at the children of Israel, says to them, remember, you were a servant in Egypt, and I'm commanding you this. It's connecting where you came from to the obligation that the Torah now places you in. And look, don't forget your status. Don't forget where you were. See, God didn't redeem slaves to be kings. In a way, he redeemed servants to be servants, but the rulership changed. You go from God's calling of a people, there to be a kingdom of priests, if you will, but they're really a kingdom of priests is a kingdom of servants. I once heard someone say, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you'll be a servant of all. That's powerful. The idea is that a person is serving. If they want to be in God's kingdom, you have to be a servant. There's only room for one king. Everybody else is a servant. Remember in Deuteronomy 17, when it talks about a king, it says, look, you can't multiply gold and women and horses, and you're going to be just like your brothers. Well, what's the use in being a king? You get all the headache and none of the good stuff. You don't get the money and the women and all that. You're like everybody else. It's a responsibility, a servant responsibility. That's what this is about. That's what the Torah is driving for. So we talk about Shabbat. We are to be productive and creative. But everyone, capital A-L-L, are entitled to the benefit of the rest that goes along with Shabbat. Human and animal life as well. Now, there's some key text I want to go through, if you will. Go with me, Exodus 31, beginning in verse 12. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am Jehovah who sanctifies you. There's that parochial word. Guess what that is? You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to Jehovah. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. This is beautiful. This is full. This has got just about everything we're talking about in one short grouping of texts, Exodus 31, 12 through 17. Notice where in verse 13 it says, keep. They shall keep my Sabbath. There in the Hebrew, it's guard. Guard. It's the same language that Deuteronomy uses, see? So the two are, in the Torah, we get a flow back and forth between these words. Guard. It's a sign. Shabbat is a sign, we read. Guess how long? Throughout your generations. A sign of what? So that you may know that Jehovah separates you. The Sabbath is a sign that you've been made holy. You've been made separate. Now, in a biblical sense, think about it. Of all the people on earth, when I go to Israel, and I can't wait to go back as soon as flights open back up, but here's the deal. When you go, you have different people set apart a different day. On Fridays, the Muslims are closed. On Saturdays, the Jewish shops are closed. On Sundays, the Christian shops are closed. It actually works out pretty good like that. But imagine the whole world keeping Shabbat. We're to guard the Sabbath day in what I just read because it's holy for you. It's holy for you. You should guard it. Guard the Sabbath day and do the Shabbat, it says. That's Deuteronomic language. It's the same language. Deuteronomy ends, therefore, Deuteronomy 5:15, therefore, Jehovah your Elohim commanded you to do the Sabbath. Do it. It's like the commercial, just do it. Throughout your generations, an eternal covenant. Olam is an indeterminate age, a sign forever between me and the children of Israel, because in 6 days he created it, on the seventh day he ceased and was refreshed. Look with me, Exodus 34, Exodus chapter 34 and verse 21. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, in plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. You know, it could be easily, somebody might say, I can't take off today. I got to get the crops in. But that's, it says, whether you're in seed time or harvest, Shabbat is Shabbat. It's holy. It's to be set apart. We tend to put burdens on ourselves. Quite often we do this. Or we allow business affairs to bleed over into the day when they don't have to. You know, you realize that this rest is needed. People a lot of times say, I don't need to take off. I mean, I can't take off. I've got too much going on. Well, you're going to wear yourself out. You may not know it, but it's, first of all, it's not being aligned with the Torah here. Look at chapter 35 of Exodus. Exodus 35, verse 2. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of solemn rest to Jehovah. Whosoever doeth any work therein shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. Where does this come in? Well, this isn't new to them either. It doesn't mention fire in the 10 words, but it did in Exodus 16. Remember when they were going out and getting the bread? It said, look, you're going to cook it on this day, but don't do it on, because see, it's this idea that this day is a day of total rest. Prepare the day before so that you can rest. It's for you. Rest. Look at Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 1. These are the festivals. Most of you know this. I'm sorry, I'll get to that in a minute. I jumped ahead in my mind. Leviticus 19 is called the Holiness Code. Now, watch this in verse 1. And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, Jehovah your God, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am Jehovah your God. Turn not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am Jehovah your God. You notice the similarity between that and the 10 words? Leviticus 19, part of what's called the Holiness Code by scholars, is sort of a commentary, a priestly commentary on the commandments. Notice the order is just flipped backwards. If you look at it, you've got the commandments. You shall fear father and mother. So that's equivalent to honoring father and mother, which is in next week's class. And then it says, you shall keep my Sabbath. See, we're on that one now. And then the next one is, turn not unto idols and making. So it's like a flipped. But he's talking about the 10 words. These are the commandments. Now go to Leviticus 23, where my mind wanted to go a minute ago. Leviticus 23, verse 1. And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, These are the set feast of Jehovah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. There's a good parochial word for you. Even these are my set feast. Mo'adei. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath unto Jehovah in all your dwellings. A lot of people get into the festivals. They study the feast and the festivals. Central, most important, is a weekly occurrence. We have other festivals that occur, and they're described here in Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 16 and elsewhere. But the idea is that first out of the gate that's introduced, now notice these are appointments. A moed is an appointment. Moedei with Jehovah. Appointments with Jehovah. You're to do this every week. 6 days you shall work and do all your work. But on the seventh day is an appointment with Jehovah. It's a holy holy convocation. In Hebrew, it's Nikra Kodesh, what is called holy. It's a holy calling, an assembly, if you will, of holiness. That's every week. And it's one of the festivals of Jehovah. The Torah, the prophets, and the writings have much to say about Sabbath observance and about the profaning of the Sabbath as well. I'm not even touching all the passages which deal with how they forsook the Sabbath and read Isaiah chapter 1, read Ezekiel chapter 20, on and on and on. But throughout the text of the Bible, the observance of Shabbat is testified of. And I believe that this commandment, like the other nine of the 10 words, get my terminology correct, I believe that Shabbat has universal implications, as all of them do. Like some teachers, some of my Jewish friends, some of my friends who are in Torah faith would say, that's not for you. That's only for the Jews. It's only for Israel. And somebody says, well, what about me? I want to follow God's ways. Some people would argue that Shabbat is not for them. In fact, some people even say you should break a commandment on Shabbat. You should violate a commandment on Shabbat. When people tell you that, I say run from them. That should not ring true to anyone who studies the Bible. I get where they're coming from, but I don't agree with it. In fact, I oppose that. I think that's absolutely crazy. Shabbat, like these others, are the foundation, the bedrock of a society based on justice and truth and righteousness and peace. Can you tell me of a place on this planet where giving weight, honoring one's father and mother isn't needed? Can you tell me of a place on this planet where murder should be allowed? Can you tell me where it's ever been good for a person to take the spouse of another person? Can you find examples where these work out for the benefit of the world? How about theft? The list goes on. And so it is with Shabbat. Go with me to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. Thus says Jehovah, keep ye justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that holds it fast, that keeps the Sabbath from profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the foreigner that has joined himself to Jehovah speak, saying, Jehovah will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus saith Jehovah of the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. Unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the foreigners that join themselves to Jehovah to minister unto him and to love the name of Jehovah, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from profaning it and holds it fast, my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord Jehovah, it says, Adonai Yehovah, who gathers the outcast of Israel, says, Yet will I gather others to him besides his own that are gathered. Universal implications and application. This is a very powerful. Foreigners that join themselves to Jehovah to minister unto him. Look with me to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. When people tell you you're not of the right people to keep the Sabbath, you shouldn't keep the Sabbath, ask them maybe if they have ever read Isaiah. Particularly Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Jehovah. Who's speaking? Jehovah. So shall your seed and your name remain. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Jehovah. All flesh. You know when they're going to come? On Shabbat. On new moons. Can you imagine people from Nigeria and America and Canada and Australia and New Zealand and all the isles of the sea, Europe, Asia, and they come to worship before Jehovah. They say, what day are we doing this? It's going to be Shabbat. Remember Zechariah 14, that people send delegates from every nation to keep Sukkot as well. So when these people tell you, this commandment isn't for you, just say, shh, thank you very much. I'll go with the text of the Bible. Go to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and declare unto my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of the God, of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near unto God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and you don't see it? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, this is the answer, by the way, ye find your own pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and contention and to smite with a fist of wickedness. You fast not this day so as to make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I have chosen, the day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a rush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to Jehovah? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? See, it's talking about freeing the oppressed. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of Jehovah shall be your reward. Then you shall call, and Jehovah will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Hineni, here am I. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth the finger, see, like this, like you're making fun and ridiculing others, and speaking wickedly, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in darkness, and your obscurity be as the noonday. And Jehovah will guide thee continually and satisfy your soul in dry places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations and shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I wanted that context to be, and now hear this. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of Jehovah honorable, and shall honor it, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in Jehovah, and I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Jehovah has spoken it. All of the good things to come, according to Isaiah 58, the hypocrisy has to go, the pointing of the finger, the genuine concern for the afflicted and the poor and those that are in bondage. Those things are what set stage for a light to go forth to the nations. So long as the group which has the light refuses to share the light, the whole world walks in darkness. The true light bearers are those who say, enter into the comfort and rest of Shabbat. Separate the Shabbat. Join with those who keep Shabbat, with the foreigners who grab hold of the covenant. Separate the Sabbath day. These words were engraved on stone with the finger of God. In order to separate the day, we have to remember it and we have to guard it. Just as Jehovah did all of his work in 6 days and ceased on the seventh, so are we to do the same. We're to remember this. Excuse me. We're to memorialize it. We're also to remember where we came from. I believe we're to remember that we ought to know what it's like to be in the place of some of these who are just discovering Shabbat. You remember where you were, as Deuteronomy says. And as Jehovah freed Israel, allowing them to rest, so is Israel to free servants and animals that they might rest. It's an act of imitating God. Just as Jehovah rested and was refreshed, so too shall all, animal and human, be allowed to rest. As Jehovah was refreshed, so too are all allowed to be refreshed. And while the benefits belong to the entire creation, the day is to or for Jehovah. Do you get that? The benefit of Shabbat is for all of you. But the day itself is for Jehovah. It's holy. So imitate God. Create Be creative. Be productive. Do much. Go forth. May you be blessed and be creative, and your businesses prosper, and your life grow into a beautiful garden before your eyes. But on Shabbat, stop. Rest and give that time to the one who created all. Be free. The document before us, the covenant of 10 words, is a document which drives freedom. And in so doing, enjoy your freedom. Remember what slavery was like and set forward in every way in your life to ensure that others benefit from total freedom. Look around us. Let's find ways to bring everyone to that free place. And what will come of this if we do it is a universal time of refreshing will come upon this world. God's will and His ways will be done on earth as they are in heaven. Shabbat Shalom. Next week, word four, we're talking about honoring parents. Shabbat Shalom.